The Book Nook on WYSO is presented by the Greene County Public Library with additional support from Clark County Public Library, Dayton Metro Library, Washington Centerville Public Library, and Wright Memorial Public Library.
Hello, welcome to the Book Nook on WYSO. I'm Vic McCunis. I'd like to welcome back to the program today Shuley Kaywood. She joins us on the telephone in Johnson City, Tennessee. Hello, Shuley.
Hi, thank you so much for having me on. I was hoping I could be there in person, but that is not going to happen.
Well, it sounds like you're in the room next door, so we'll just take it from there.
That sounds great.
Okay. You have a new collection of stories out. In fact, it's your first story collection. It's called A Small Thing to Want. And I kind of think of your memoir as a story collection in a way. Do you see any similarities?
I do, in the sense that the memoir also had chapters that could stand alone, like a story collection, and like this one. All these stories can stand alone, but I hope that people read them in the order that I put them in, but they don't have to.
Why is that important, to read them in order?
I tried to place them in an order that made sense emotionally. Some of the stories are a little bit more, for example, may have more sadness, and some have more of an upbeat tone. And so I tried to intersperse them that way so that you weren't getting the same emotion in a row from stories.
Oh, so it's kind of like we're tobogganing. We're going up, we're going down, we're going up, we're going down, we're hitting the ridge, going down.
Well, hopefully not as wild as that, but
okay.
Sure.
All right. Well, that's good to know. Speaking of emotion, they are literally dripping with emotion. How important is that to you to distill emotion in your tales?
Very, very important. I feel like I write stories that are about the emotions that we feel as humans in terms of how we care about people, who we love, who we keep out of our lives or want out of our lives but can't get out of our lives. So emotions are really important, and I really appreciate you saying that they do drip with emotion, because that was one of my goals, was to make sure that the emotion was clear without me saying what emotions were on the page.
Shuley Kaywood joins us. Her new collection is A Small Thing to Want. And we've had you on the show for your memoir. We've had you on for poetry. You write poetry. We've had you on for your book, which I hate to describe as any particular genre. What would you call it? Inspirational? Self-help?
Inspirational. A little advice book.
Okay. And now here you are with a collection of stories. What led you to do this? Have you been writing stories all along and then just finally decided you had enough to put in a collection?
Well, I started out when I was very young. The first thing that I did start writing were stories. And then I really, once I hit teenage years, I turned to poetry, and I never stopped writing poetry. I still write poetry. I started to write the memoir, and that's when I went back to school and did my MFA program, and I was studying creative nonfiction. What happened was, the first summer of my master's program in studying creative nonfiction, I got stuck in writing this memoir, and I felt like I wanted to break from truth. When you write a memoir, you're confined to what actually happened and your memories, and I really wanted to break free and just write whatever I wanted. And so I started writing fiction that summer, which is odd because I was supposed to be focused on writing my memoir. And what ended up happening is that I loved short stories so much that I ended up deciding to study that as well in my master's program. When you, for my particular program, which is Queen's University in Charlotte, you had to apply to a particular genre to study that genre. And so I ended up applying to the fiction program as well and was able to study that in my MFA program along with the creative nonfiction / memoir writing. So I really got to work on it during that time, and I've continued to write short stories ever since then.
Is that really the case? Memoirs are supposed to be all true. I've read a lot of memoirs, and I'm a little skeptical of whether some of the stuff I read in those was actually true.
Well, with memoir, it's supposed to be true to your memory.
Okay. All right. Well, I love this collection, as you know. What's the process? How do you decide to find the right nugget that then sprouts into this story?
I suppose that for me, I always start with a situation between two people, but I don't know whether it's going to be a long story, a short story, it could be a novella. I just start writing based on that situation to see what happens with the characters when they're confronted with a crisis, an odd situation, a difficult situation, and then I write from there. And so many stories that I've written haven't gone anywhere, but these are the ones that actually I finished. I thought that they were strong enough to hold together as a collection, so that's how it works for me. I never know what a story is going to end up being until I've been writing in it and in it and in it for a while.
I get the impression that you're someone who loves to observe other people. You love to watch, you love to listen, maybe eavesdrop a little bit. Is this correct?
That is absolutely correct. I've been doing that my whole life. Mm-hmm. One of the reasons that I like sporting events is not because I love sports, but I love watching the people. I love watching the crowd and seeing people interact. So anytime there's a big event, I'm always the one who's not watching the actual event, who's watching everybody watching the event. So I love listening to people. I like to look at body language. One of my favorite things is to go into a restaurant and look at the different couples and see and try to figure out if they're on their first date, if they're married, if they're about to break up. You can always read the energy and look at the body language and figure it out, even if you don't hear what they're saying. People are fascinating. So I love watching people and listening to people. It is entertaining all day long.
Have you noticed that sort of watching in restaurants has gotten a little more difficult now that you see couples sitting at tables, both staring at their phones, completely oblivious to one another?
Isn't that sad? Yes.
It is sad. In fact, the things you're talking about, sporting events and restaurants, I remember restaurants. I remember sporting events. Here we are in this time when people are still trying to function, do the things that they had planned to do. Here you are with your new book coming out. How has your world changed since we're going through what we're going through at the moment with this pandemic?
Well, regarding the book, which is very different than the rest of my world, regarding the book, I had a bunch of in-person events that have been canceled. So that's been disappointing, but I've been trying to adapt and do things online and trying to promote talking to book clubs and just trying to look at other ways to have my book be out there since my in-person events, speaking engagements, have been canceled so far. In terms of just my own world, my world hasn't changed a whole lot. I've been very, very lucky. I can work from home, and I was already working from home part-time. So now I just have now working completely from home.
But don't you like to sit in coffee shops and write?
I do, but I have a very anxious dog who has separation anxiety, so that just doesn't work for me.
Okay.
So I take her with me wherever I go. So I can take her into the office when I go into the office, and then when I'm at home, obviously I'm with her. So right now in this phase of my life, coffee shops are lovely when I travel. For example, when I go to Yellow Springs, I love writing at the Emporium. It's my favorite place in the world to write. But when I'm here in Johnson City, Tennessee, I'm not able to really partake of that very much.
Didn't you have a scheduled appearance coming up, which I assume was canceled, at the Dayton Engineers Club?
It hasn't been canceled yet. I'm hoping it still happens. I have several events at the end of June. One is in Yellow Springs at the Emporium. One is at the Engineers Club, and one is at the Yellow Springs Library. And they're all at the very end of June. So as of now, they haven't been canceled. I'm still keeping my fingers crossed that those will happen.
Well, let me check with the governor and see what he has to say about that.
Please do.
My guest is Julie Kaywood. Her new collection is A Small Thing to Want. I think one of my favorite things about your stories is your ability to just say a few words, just to say a line that just really sticks with us. And I'm wondering what the process is for you as far as distilling these stories down. I'm guessing that you do a lot of editing.
I do a lot of editing. I don't know that the stories change a lot, though, from when I the first draft is done to the last draft, just in terms of length. So it's definitely sentence structure and adding maybe a little scene, but most of the story doesn't change. So at that point, after my first draft, then I'm looking at just sentence level editing at that point. The story is complete most of the time.
So how do you come up with these stories where you have these people that are so repressed that they want something, they can't express what they want? Do you think this is a very typical human condition?
I think that those are the people that interest me a lot, people who really want something but can't seem to move forward, and something is an obstacle between them and the thing that they want or the person that they want. That always interests me. And I do think that most humans have desires and passions that they are not able to achieve, whether it's being with someone or whether it's a career that they wish they had or a station in life that they want. But I do feel like most people have something that they weren't able to get in their life. And that always interests me. What kept them from that? And some people in my stories do overcome it and they get what they want. So that also interests me, how they overcome whatever challenges or obstacles they perceive. And sometimes it is really just their perception of what's an obstacle when it really isn't an obstacle.
And sometimes the things that we want are fairly minor things, a small thing to want, so to speak. And want is just another word for desire. There's lots of desire in here, and a lot of it is unfulfilled.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Kind of like in real life, huh?
I'm not the person who likes stories that have a pretty happy bow at the end that's easy.
Uh-huh.
Not to say that some of the stories don't have a positive ending and a happy ending for these characters, but it's not always what they thought it would look like. What they imagined that they wanted may not happen, but something else happens that's even better that they hadn't even realized that is good for them.
Mm. You're listening to 91.3 WYSO, your home for independent news and handpicked music. My guest is Shuli K. Wood, returning to the program to talk about her story collection, A Small Thing to Want, just came out. And you really leave us wondering in some of these stories. We wonder if this is going to keep going, the story. Don't you continue some of your characters in more than one story?
There are a few characters that continue on in several stories. One in particular was a character named Suzette.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote a story about her and her husband as their marriage was going through some rough times, with the backdrop of a national crisis happening, and it made them look at their marriage really differently against this backdrop, which was much larger than them and their lives. After I wrote that story, Suzette just would not go away. She kept going in my mind. I kept thinking about her life years later and what it would be like, and until I wrote two more stories about her, she was not quiet, which was fine with me because I found her to be a really interesting character. So I did end up writing two other stories about her that did go into this collection. Originally, when I sent the manuscript to my publisher, Press 53, I had 12 stories, but two of them were different. And as I sent it to my publisher and as we were going through the process of contract negotiation and editing, I told him, I said, you know, since I sent this to you, I now have written two more stories about Suzette. Would you like to see them? And he said, sure. So I sent them on to him, and we decided to put those two stories in and take two others out.
Oh. Do you have something that you're planning on reading for people that maybe we could share with our listeners? Do you have your book there? Is there something that maybe you've been practicing, or are we not yet at that point?
I'm not yet at that point. I'd be happy to pull out something, but to be honest, I had not even thought about that. I probably should have for this interview, but I didn't even think about that. So I have not prepared anything at all.
That's okay.
I could read I mean, I could read you the first page or the first section of the first story if you wanted, but I
sure.
haven't practiced.
Let's do it. I'm up for it.
All right. It's a very small section. That's the good part.
Okay.
This story is called Good Enough, and it's the first story of the collection. Alice Barrington's hands are small, her fingers thin, but in gloves they look thick and strong. Borrowed hands, she thinks. And it is with these hands that she digs a hole 2 feet deep, pries the redbud tree from its black plastic pot, cuts the roots with her spade, and settles it into the hole. A hole she will fill with dirt, old dirt and new dirt mixed together, because that's how it works, the only way that one day the leaves will flare green and soak in sun. Alice presses the dirt against the redbud's small neck of a trunk. Her mother once told her that a bare neckline meant a woman was asking for trouble. Alice wipes the sweat from her forehead with her sleeve. Striding up to the fence line is Alice's new neighbor, new because Alice just moved in days ago with her two young daughters. The new neighbor has a broad chest and thick arms and legs, and he is frowning as he walks toward her, as if he doesn't know how to do anything but frown, and he is much taller than Alice, who seems shorter now than she was even months ago, though she is just 32 years old. The new neighbor has hair that reminds Alice of a tiger, dark brown with blonde streaks, hit by a sun that forgives no one. He tells her his name is Dale, asks if she needs help planting the tree, but of course now she is finished, sweat dripping like tears down her neck and soaking into her shirt. I'm fine, she tells him, the same thing she is always telling everyone, though it's hardly true. But thank you, she says, remembering to be polite even though she isn't introducing herself, as she picks up her shovel and moves toward the shed and away from him before she breaks wide open.
I do love the way you describe things, and you have these short little bursts that you throw in. And in that story, you had one where you say, the cicadas rattle like a fistful of maracas. I love that kind of visual auditory description.
Well, thank you. I tried to use different senses throughout the book. Most writers, well, at least I usually think of the visual, and I tried to put in smells and sounds just to vary it up and to make a setting more clear to people.
There's something so evocative about the thought of those invisible cicadas, and as we get into August and they sing in those choruses, and yet you cannot see them. You rarely see them. You hear them up in the trees, and it's swelling and rising, and they're all singing together in harmony or rubbing their legs or whatever it is they're doing to make these sounds. And it's such a beautiful image. How do you think of things like that? How does it come to you? Do you walk along with a little notebook and then have a thought and scribble it down?
I do, but for me, something like cicadas is such that the story that line comes from is set in Ohio. And for me, my summers, that's the sound of summer.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's how I grew up. So I usually rely on memory, or I sit there and imagine a place. For obviously, if it's Ohio, and several stories are set in Ohio, then it's based on my memory. But I can imagine a place. A lot of these stories are set in places that I lived. And so I will sit and remember what life was like and how things looked and how they sounded. So that's how I do it, mostly from a memory of a place or imagination.
Mm-hmm. And you have people say things that stick with the reader. One that I recall particularly was in your story. I think it was Happy. And a character says, love isn't about happiness. It's about survival.
Mm-hmm.
These are the kinds of expressions where the reader just stops at the end of the story and just mulls it over and thinks about it. And that's a beautiful thing as a reader, to be able to pause and digest and get something out of it like that.
Well, thank you. That means a lot to me. I wish I could say that I planned and came up with those type of lines, but they just pop out of my brain, and I wish I knew the formula for making more lines like that happen. They just sort of happened to me, so thank you for noticing them.
Well, obviously these stories didn't get created in a vacuum. Your life experience is a defining thing for the creation of these stories. And I'm going to guess that you probably have some close friends that are going to read this collection and go, is that me? Is that me you're talking about? Is that my story? Is that my marriage?
That would be fun.
You're not expecting that?
I'm not. Two of the stories are the situation that the stories start with are something that happened in my life.
Uh-huh.
But other than that, the rest all just came from imagination. And even those two stories that I wrote originally, I wanted those two stories actually before I wrote them as fiction. In my mind, I wanted them to go into my memoir. They were two events that happened in my life that were significant. But I couldn't remember them well enough. I couldn't remember the dialogue. I couldn't remember the details. And so I wasn't able to put them in my memoir. And I thought, I'm going to write these as fiction. And so I did. But of course, when you start writing fiction based on something that happened to you, the characters have their own personalities, and they go off in their own direction. What happened to me did not happen ultimately in the story to the characters that are in these two stories. Their lives took a different turn. What was the ending was quite different than what happened in my life. But the original situations that are those characters are in those two stories was from my life. But that's about the only part of it that is from my life.
Mm. I loved so many of these stories, and the snowstorm really stuck with me, and this character Seymour. I really like this whole image, and I can remember snowstorms. You remember when we used to have those?
Oh, gosh, yes. They're a huge alpha part of my childhood and my 20s, and it's probably about in my 30s when they stopped happening.
Seymour, how did you come up with him? He's a determined fellow.
He's very determined. I've had people in my life who are very determined, so I can't say that he is a particular someone in my life, but I definitely took characteristics of him from people that I know. I'm also a very stubborn person as well.
Mm-hmm.
But he is more determined than I probably am about most things. And I'm so glad you loved Snowstorm. That's one of my special little stories, too. That is one of those stories that the initial concept of that story came from my life. So I appreciate that.
Do you have a personal favorite story in this collection?
I do, but I'm not going to say which it is.
Why not?
I don't want to color the readers. I like them all for different reasons, but I have one in particular that I wrote that was just so effortless and so easy that it just ended up being my favorite. I loved the ending of it. So, yeah, I do have my favorites, but I like them all for different reasons. They each came to me in certain ways that make them special, especially, for example, the Suzette stories. I love that she wouldn't leave me alone. I love that she had to have me tell the rest of her life, well, the whole rest of her life, but what her life ended up several years later and then several years after that. So
I'll bet I know which one's your favorite.
Hmm. Are you going to guess?
Bag of Boots.
You can guess. I'm not going to say.
Okay.
I appreciate the guess.
I think I got it. All right. You're listening to the Book Nook on WYSO. My guest is Shuli K. Wood. Her new book is A Small Thing to Want. It's her collection of stories just coming out. And what kind of stuff are you reading? I saw on Twitter that you were asking for people to make suggestions to you of short story collections. I'm thinking maybe you're looking to see what your peers are up to. You want to see how people are doing it these days. What kind of stuff are you reading?
So I was, when I asked that question, I was reading Edith Wharton's Roman Fever short story collection. My all-time favorite short story is in that collection, and it's called Roman Fever. And so when I asked that question on Twitter, I was trying to get to more contemporary short story collections. I've read Laurie Moore.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, Molly Ringwald came out with a great book several years back that I loved of short stories. And so I'm just looking at, I've been picking up different things. Nothing has really, I'm a very picky reader.
Mm-hmm.
A book can be Pulitzer Prize winning and wonderfully written, but I'm so picky about what I read that I may not like it anyway, even though it's wonderfully written. So I haven't found a collection of contemporary writers recently that I've really liked, like Lori Moore, who I really like, and that Molly Ringwald book I really liked. And I love Roman Fever. I mean, if you haven't read it, it's definitely a story worth reading. I read it probably in college, and it has definitely influenced how I write all these years later.
I know you don't spend much time on Twitter. Have you noticed that Lori Moore is trending on Twitter?
I've noticed that she's getting, I guess they call it, dragged on Twitter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know what that's all about. I haven't read what caused this, but she's definitely getting castigated on there.
She is.
Mm-hmm. Don't you just wish that you could be viral on Twitter like that and have everybody talking about you?
I definitely do not want to be her right now. I do not want to be dragged on Twitter. So if that means that I stay in obscurity, that's perfectly fine. I always feel really awful. There have been several authors who have been dragged with the Twitter mobs and all that, and mm-hmm. I am so glad not to be a part of that.
Well, now that you're in the position where you're going to have to do your book publicity from your own home mostly, are you planning on starting your own YouTube channel where we can watch Shuli read her stories and talk about her writing? Or are we going to be getting this from you?
I'm going to start a whole YouTube series. I actually have been working on doing a book video, which is very new for me, and that will go on YouTube. I don't know how much else will go on YouTube. I suppose if I got a lot of questions about my book, which I would love, I would start doing book videos and put the questions on there and the answers. That would be really fun. I am learning how to do a book video based on an author named Amy Stewart. She offers a free online class, which has been fabulous. So I've been taking the class and trying to learn how to do it myself. I'm a little bit technologically challenged at times, so it's been a big learning curve, but I'm making my way in it. And hopefully by the time this airs, I will have something out.
Well, I'm hoping that readers discover your collection because it's truly a beautiful collection. It's called A Small Thing to Want by Shuli K. Wood, and just little jewels, each story in here. And so beautifully written. And
thank you so much, Vic. That means a lot to me. Thank you.
You're welcome. What are you working on? You got anything else that's underway?
Yes, I am working on short stories still. I wrote one short story in January that is one of those stories that really was effortless. I love writing that is effortless. It just feels like it's coming through me, not from me. And in this story, it's set in Ohio as usual. And it is a story about a woman who's about 40 years old, but it flashes back to when she was in college and she lived with six other people, men and women. There were seven housemates who were friends. And so the story focuses on her and one or two other housemates primarily, but she's the main character. And I've now started a second story with one of the other housemates. I'm not sure. I haven't gotten that far in the second story, but I would love to do a linked story collection that's about these seven people. I don't know if I'll get there, but that's one of my hopes.
Sounds great. Well, thank you so much for your time, Shuli.
Thank you, Vic. I really appreciate it.
My guest has been Shuli K. Wood. Her new story collection, just out, is called A Small Thing to Want. For the Book Nook, I'm Vic McCunis. Thanks, as always, for listening.